Learn through the sugyas of Geirus, that's what you're supposed to do, right? That's the topic, okay. Try to learn through some of the sugyas of Geirus. So obviously the institution of Geirus exists in the Chumash, you don't have to go very far, the Torah speaks about many years that revolve around the being a Geir. So clearly the institution of Geirus exists, clearly it's a dimin of Torah. There are a lot of halachas that depend on the person becoming Jewish or not. So clearly deal with Geirus or not. What's not clear, at least in the Tesh of Chsav, is how exactly does a person become transformed to become Jewish? What process do you go to? You have to undergo in order to become Jewish. And the Gemara tells us, as Croesus in the Tess, that the entire sugya of Geirus begins with a very, very simple model, very, very simple precedent in the halacha, and that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael converted at one time also, because at one time in history, Klal Yisrael didn't exist. At one time, they were just simply B'nai Noach. Yeah, they were descendants of Amrit and Yaakov, but for practical purposes, they didn't really have a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael. There is a machlokes in the Ramban. The Ramban makes reference in Parsha Zemor as to what the status of the others was called Mount Torah exactly in terms of a little bit of Kedushas Yisrael, not Kedushas Yisrael. That's really a side topic. But something definitely important, something critical happened with Ramban Torah, and it is that transformation from being B'nai Noach to being Kedushas Yisrael that ultimately serves as the model for Geirus L'Doros. How do you know that? How do you know that we should mimic Geirus based on what happened in Mount Torah? So the Gemara in Parsha Zemor posted, V'yogir chem geir d'roseichem, that Kavchem Kagir Yelach Hashem, the Pesukim describe that just Ma'av Aseicha Nichus to the Bris, just as Klal Yisrael entered into the Bris with the following process, X, Y, and Z, so twofold, Deiris, one that wants to enter into Jewish people has to undergo pretty much the same criteria. So the question becomes, what are those criteria? What exactly did they do? So the Gemara says, Croesus identifies based on Pesukim, in primarily in Sefer Shmos, that identifies three different processes that are necessary for a Geirus to in effect happen. And it's those three processes, at least two of those three processes, that are going to become relevant for much of what we're going to discuss for sure today and then coming weeks as well. The Gemara says, Ma'av Aseicha Nichus L'Bris, the Mevil Tefillah B'Korban. Those are the three critical things that happened at the time of Matan Torah. Now, truth to be told, it's not so simple to find, to figure out where all these things happen exactly. You have to read Parsha Shmos with the Torah of Peh, interpretation, in order to see where exactly these three things happen. So Mila, it doesn't say that they received the Mila at Mount Torah, because it's obvious, because they received the Mila back in Sias Mitzrayim 7 weeks earlier, because the Torah says, called Arul Yechobay, you know, and eat Korban Pesach in the state of Arbus. So obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Milas, they were giving their mas Milas, because most of the people didn't have Milas before. We're going to talk about a little bit later about those people who did have Milas before this, but most of the Christ did were not observing the mitzvah of Mila properly, and therefore they had to all undergo a bris mila right before Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says that bris mila was called the milas geirus, and therefore we derive the geirus that any time a male wants to convert, he has to have a milas geirus as well. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it's not a milas geirus, that's a mila for the purposes of eating Erev Pesach. So you see, Achadish from the Gemara, you see that the Chazal understood that original mila, that idea of having a mila to eat Erev Pesach, is not just have a mitzvah's carpet, it's not just a bris carpet, a kutcher to commit. It was more than that. The meal that was necessary in Mitzrayim, Mamish had the status, that was part and parcel of the transformation from being called Benechal Yechal to becoming Jewish, from being Arelim to becoming Mulim. That was not just a mitzvah's carpet, but that was part of it becoming Nicholas of Mishas Yisrael. And therefore, that did carry over the Dairus, that a male wants to convert, so he has to undergo a Mila, L'Shem Geirus. Then there's a second process that took place around the Matan Torah / Tzitzvah Matan Torah period of time, and that was Tvila. How do you know Tvila? We shake and they went to the mikvah. So the Gemara had a lot of trouble with that. So the Gemara says, where did it say that Kaiser went to the mikvah? The Gemara says, well, it says that they put their clothing into the mikvah. It says the Chitzvah and Losa of the Matan Torah. So they put their clothing into the mikvah, called the Chayrah, put themselves into the mikvah. So that must be a riot that they did a tefillah. That was a prerequisite to Matan Torah, and that's part of the process of becoming established with the Kedushas Yisrael. That thing carries over the Torah as well. The Gemara Yevamos jumps on that and says, "No, maybe that wasn't a tefillah. Maybe they just sent the clothing to the dry cleaners. They just sent the chutzis and they washed the clothing. How do you know it means that they toiled the clothing? It must be tzedakah, right? That the real mocher is not from there. The real mocher is." Because it says later on in Parshas Mishpatim that they experienced Hazos Adam, Vayazal Ha'am, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu sprinkled some of the blood on the people. So since they had Hazos Adamim, the Gemara says, Gemir, we have a tradition, we have a Teshuvah Fed, Gemir, the Ein Hazabalot Tevilah. That in order for a person to have Hazos Adam sprinkled on them, they have to, by definition, go through a Tevilah. So of course, Klal Yisrael went through a Tevilah, and that was the Tevilah of Geirus, and that Tevilah has to be mimicked this matter there as well. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds like the real Mokar, the Emerson Mokar, the Tzvilas Geir, is from this, sometimes Salah Chosh Siri, especially like that, Aveinu is over the tefillah, and the pasuk of Achisu Musulosa was talking about Jehovah, but look at the Rambam, look at the Surya, the Rambam somehow quotes that pasuk. So for some reason, the Rambam quotes the Havim with the Maranatha Maskar, it's a strange, difficult Rambam, but again, it doesn't impact the mindset, it's just an interesting opinion of the Rambam. Then the Gemara says, "So we have two pitters. So we have Nila learned from Mitzrayim. We have Tefillah learned from Mitzrayim. Then the Gemara says Korban as well. How do you know you have to be a Korban? That's the easiest one. That's my Tov Ruchumim. So I'm saying they brought over some Shlomim from Yed Kash Mishpatim to as part of the Mitzrayim experience. So to you learn the Din L'Darius, you have to bring Korbanos. Even though this is the one that the most explicit in the Chumash is the one that that disappears, because the Gemara asks in Kishus, what do we do with Manazer? There's a Korban." We don't have korbanos anymore. The Gemara says it's not ba'akei. Bringing the korban, this man says it's not ba'akei. The Gemara definitely possible. We'll talk about this later on. It becomes very important for us in other aspects of keres. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says that this man of mikdash needed three things: you need meal, tefillah, and korban. This man says you just do two. You just do meal, tefillah, and korban gets put on the back burner. The Gemara says that the heavy man of mikdash, so all the keres are going to have to come and bring their korbanos, because it's not that you're pot, but you just won't bring your korban. It's just that's not ba'akei. This man is there. Well, the Heavy Mitzvah, that's when you have to bring your korban. The Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a practice that any ger would put aside money, pay money to be used for korban ger, and the Heavy Mitzvah should use that money. So Rabbi Yechman Zakeh was mevatel that practice because it was too dangerous, because people would have hectic money floating around, and if somebody may use it, the kid's going to rummage through your drawer, take some money and buy ice cream with it. So we can be having mihila. So we don't want to have a hectic of money sitting around. So the other ones out, they said it was a bad path. It was a noble gesture. Well, that was a very good idea. But the mice, it turned out it was you lose more than the gain, and therefore when the base station should be rebuilt, so the gain will have to figure out where they can get the cash from. But it's not a good idea to leave the money around. The Gemara says, and it says, Erech and Inala, the makdish money does not have there, because it's a misit the Rabbanon. The makdish something, anything to the base station does not have there. Should take color. Someone didn't end up using it. Violating Mila. What do you mean? You're putting aside from the basic. As we share in Israel, the days ago, I was talking about the din of Shlomo Menuyin for Korban Pesach. You have to sign up. You have to chip in to buy Korban Pesach. And somebody came up with it and says that you can chip in for Korban Pesach now. You have a system set up. So you can go online. You can buy Korban Pesach from Pesach right now. And that way, the basic should be rebuilt on Pesach. So otherwise, you're going to have scrounging around running to join five groups. You already signed up for your chabur, so why you can sign up now? I didn't exactly understand. Anyone familiar with that? Somebody buys a korban pesach. Someone's makdish the animal. That's ridiculous. That's going to be a violation of the sissa. And imagine just means that there's some sheep sitting there that was not yet makdish. Everyone buys their share in, and someone's sitting and waiting for the mashiach to come. They're going to be makdish. I think that's what's happening. If someone's not makdish now, that would be ridiculous. I don't know, just the thought. Okay, back to the story. So you require mila, tefillah, and korban. Those are the three basic processes. And these are all clearly dinim in the Torah, all derived from the pasuk l'udei reseichem and kachem, etc. So there is a machlekes atanoim in the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos about which of these processes are ma'akev. Just because there's a mitzvah of gerush, just because a ger is supposed to do these three, doesn't necessarily mean that the ma'akev, the moshul of other areas of halacha, but clearly is supposed to do process A, B, and C. Sometimes all three processes are ma'akev, sometimes two of them, sometimes one. A good marshal, since the suyas are in Yevamos, so chalitza is a good marshal for that. There are three parts of chalitza. There's the taking of the shoe, there's the spinning on the floor, and then there's the kriyas ha'psukim. So which of these three are necessary? The answer is they're all necessary. The mitzvah is chalitza to do the entire package. Which of these are critical? Which of these, if you miss it, so the whole chalitza is not chal, and the woman still has suyas in halsei, so the gemara lets out from psukim that the kriyas ha'psukim was zichin that man. That's for sure not that. You don't do kriyas ha'psukim, the chalitza is good anyway. If you want right the kriyas ha'psukim, but if you didn't do chalitza ha'psukim, so the chalitza is good to be abed. And there was no chalitza ha'tanoi, whether the rekika is ma'achim. Everyone agrees the chalitza is ha'sandol, the taking off the shoe is ma'achim. Maybe the rekika, maybe yeah, maybe no. So this model that the Torah says do X, Y, and Z, some of them are lechakila, some of them are yeah, but this model already exists in halacha. So that's the chalitza ha'tanoi, the Masechta Yevamos. Which of these three parts of Geirus are absolutely critical? So if you want to cross the three of Machlok, it's the Korban part, doesn't interest us with Manazet, we're going to leave that out, it's not Akkad and Manazet for sure. Let's focus on Milo Tefillah. So if you want to cross one Tana that says only the Milo is Akkad, and the other Tana says only the Tefillah is Akkad, and the third Tana says they're both Akkad. So the Gemara spars back and forth why one should say only Milo, why one should say only Tefillah, why one should say both. At the end of the day, the Gemara's Nibbe Vagomer of Yechanan and Halach is, Yolam and Agera, Shibu. So the halacha, we pass in both of that. obviously for men, for women, and all the tefillah is a malchus, but for men, both the milah and the tefillah are malchus. So even though everyone agrees that since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were doing both, that wasn't a question. The Tanaim and Yevamos didn't all of a sudden discover America, this is how you regard it. People regard it for thousands of years already. So everyone knows that the protocol was milah tefillah problem. Well, it's unclear in the days of the Tanaim how much of this was on the Chachil and how much is mamash back in the Kievit. And finally, the Gemara concludes that the Alach L'Naisa is that the element of Yerachi will be involved. And both milah and tefillah are absolutely critical, and without the combination of the two, so the person is technically not Jewish at all. What exactly does this mean, that milah and tefillah are the akif together? So there's a very long shaila, the common hakim, like long dish 101. Whenever you have a process that requires, in a sense, two sub-processes, so what's pshat? It's pshat that one without the other is mamish tvar b'teilam. If a person has a milah's geirus, but he never got to the mikvah, mamash not Jewish law, mamash accomplished absolutely nothing. Zero, it's a full-fledged goy l'chol davar. That's what it means, the ol mashigir shimu v'yitvol, that it's a combination of milah slash tefillah that makes the transformation. Or no, it's almost like a two-pronged process. That when the person has, because usually milah comes first, we'll see why a little bit later on, but milah always precedes, supposed to precede the tefillah. So when the goy undergoes milah, he didn't complete the gerush process yet, but he did start it. Something happened. There is some kind of a transformation, some kind of a change in status between the state of post-Mila, pre-Tvila, even though, again, we're all ready to get, it's not a gear. You can't count for a minion, you can't get married, you can't, not a lot of dinim that he can't do until he has Mila Tvila, but to say that he did nothing, that's a little bit of an overstatement. That's a big machlokes acharonim. What do we mean when, again, according to the other Tanoim, so Mila itself, Mamash makes him Jewish, and the rest is just a mitzvah. According to the other Tanoim, Tvila itself makes him Jewish, and possibly, like the V.I.C., says the older men of Gerach Shimon Yitvom, so it's unclear, does that mean that the Milah Tefillah combined together and without it, it's mamash like doing nothing? Or do I say no, that the Milah starts the process, and I got halfway there, and now I need the other half to finish the job, but I did do something, my nef kamina. At the end of the day, he's got to finish the job. At the end of the day, you can't just have the person call it a day. So my nef kamina, whether it did nothing, or at least it worked to some degree. So we're going to jump ahead a little bit to something we'll talk about in later Shilom in Geras. That's the issue, what's called the Goyish Shavas. It's a din that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. He runs ahead and runs out from Sukkim, Loish Baisu, the Teshuva that says that an Akash Shavas has a serious problem. That's in this government. It's in the government of Torah for Goy to observe Shabbos. There are different opinions in the Rishonim. Why exactly it's also, Rashi says, because keeping Shabbos is very, very dangerous because you're sitting around fiddling your thumbs doing nothing. So a Jew who has, he's Mavasedra, he makes Kiddush, he makes Cholim, he knows how to make Shabbos, he knows how to learn all day. So he can daven, he can listen to the rabbi's drashas, so he has productive things to do. So keep him out of trouble. So Shabbos is a great thing. But go ahead, what's he going to do on Shabbos? He's going to sit back and not do malacha. What's he going to do? He's not going to go to the rabbi's drasha. He's not going to come to shul. He's not going to learn. He's not going to eat shul. So he's going to get into trouble. It's better. He's going to go to work. I call him a gilodei shivu. So that's what Rashi says, that Goyish Shabbos is a problem because of the Gosha doesn't want people to be sitting around doing nothing. And the Rambam writes that the Yisr of Gosha Shabbos is because he's Mechadish Das, because he started religion. Either he keeps 7 mitzvahs or he keeps 13 mitzvahs. So you don't pick and choose. Yiddish guy is not a Shemomis boy. That I like Shabbos, I don't like Tfilin, I like Kashrus, I don't like Yachim. That's not the way things go. So the Gosha Shabbos, the Rambam learns, Shabbos is not Dafka Shabbos. Shabbos is an example of any Kiddish Das that the non-Jew does. So we'll talk about it a little bit later on, down the line. So there is a big machlokes in the posting about when exactly does the shmir of Goyish Shabbos end and when does the mitzvah of Shabbos begin. So let's say a person is undergoing the process of Geirus and he has a bris milah. And he didn't get around to going to the mikvah. Why? So the Gemara says there's usually a little bit of a break between the milah and the athletic year. So it takes a few days to heal. So let's say he had the bris on Wednesday and now he's scheduled to go to the mikvah on Sunday. So should this fellow be keeping Shabbos or not? So what is he? Is he a Yisrael yet? Not really. On the other hand, is he an Akum? Is he still a Goy? Hard to know. So the Achorim have a big machlokes about it. Some of the Achorim write, he's Mamash a Goy. He's Goy l'chol davar. Amar Rav Yechon, the Olam and a Ger Shimo v'Yitvol. So if he's not a Ger, then by default, he's a Goy. Either a Goy or a Ger, can't be both. So if he's not a Jew, so then he's a Goy still. If he's a Goy still, then he's bound by the Yisrael Derais of Goyish Shabbos. So he would not be allowed to keep Shabbos. This is the right solution for also. It's Chayim Misa Deshimayim. The ninth day, he wants to bring for tomorrow. It's Chayim Misa Deshimayim today for keeping Shabbos. Another Achareim say no, that he's already considered to be no longer an Akum. He's no longer an Akum, so then maybe he's allowed to keep Shabbos. But some Achareim go so far as to say maybe he's supposed to keep Shabbos. So they say, what do you mean he's not an Akum? What do you mean he's not an Akum? We know him in a Ger, she will be at full. So the answer is, you're right. That he's not a full Ger, it's not she will be at full, but something. He started the process. Maybe It's almost like a two-pronged process. Maybe the Nila is mafkia the shame going from him. Now he's in limbo. He doesn't become Nichas Bechal Yisrael. So maybe the Yisra of Rosh Hashanah wouldn't apply to him. So that was a big pummel in the Haramim. And again, that lumbus behind the Shaila is how do you understand the relationship between the Nila and Tefillah. So it's a Nila Tefillah package deal that without both together, absolutely nothing transpired. Nothing happened. He's as much of a non-Jew as he was an hour ago. Although I say, no, once he underwent the Nila, so he already started the process. He didn't finish the process, but he already started the process. So one potential Nachmini would be vis-a-vis this Isser of Rosh Hashanah. So it was a famous nice Shahaya that took place in Yerushalayim in the 1800s, about that there was a person who was converting. Most people weren't converting in the 1800s anyway. A special man in Yerushalayim. So in the 1800s, there was some guy who wanted to convert to Judaism. So Yerushalayim was a sincere Gehek, so they did a meal on him, and then he was recuperating. And then it came time to tefillah was scheduled for after Shabbos. So that Shabbos, he came to shul, and he was davening, and he was learning, came to the Rashi or whatever. And then late in the afternoon, so some of the big tumult in shul, and some of the Rambam in shul came with this idea that he's still a goy, and there's an issue of Akab Shishavas. So they told him, you better sign his name, you better do Malacha Deraisa right now. In the olden days, it was very easy to find Malacha Deraisa. As far as it's getting harder and harder to find Malacha Deraisa. We'll talk about this later on. We'll talk about what do we do about people who are training to become Jewish. The process of Geirus, so they're Mamish going, they didn't even have a Mila yet. So Basha's thinking, sure, it's Bimachal Shabbos. So it's becoming harder and harder to find Chal Shabbos there. It used to be very easy, just turn on the light. Now all the lights are fluorescent, they're all not so clear. What's the rice? What's the book? A lot of problems. So what do you tell the guy to do? You need the rice, so write. Well, most people don't have a pen. They don't even know how to write. Most people don't know. Kids, they don't know how to sign their names. So no one writes their names. They put them on his computer. So I didn't say you're library computer Shabbos. I didn't say you can have Shabbos. I didn't say that. I said, a chayav skila for testing on Shabbos, you can discuss, you can negotiate. I didn't say it's mutter, I just said, I'm not sure that it's enough to kiya the dinner of Akav for Shabbos. So you have to really, really work hard to find a lot of the raisa. Also, shtei batim yivim, that'll be good. If you can figure out what that means, you have to make a batim yivim, you have to make one batim yivim. So not so easy to find a lot of things on Shabbos. This is all laid back, as I said, just true strength, nothing else we call that kind of So apparently, Yerushalayim was a whole tumult that back in the mid 1800s. So one of the rabbanim just said, "You got to get him to sign his name." So Master Chachoya, right before Mincha, they had him sign his name. Shabbos and holidays. So apparently, the story made it back to Europe. It took about 6 years till they found out in Europe. And as a matter of fact, he texted on Shabbos. He himself texted on Shabbos. And the Binyan Tzion found out about this, and he was not happy about this. He was the Rebbe of Rosh Hashanah. So he wrote in his tshuvas that he thought that was a big mistake that the Rebbe of Yerushalayim made. And he said that the correct psak should have been. The reason why it wasn't that way, because Rosh Hashanah, he was the Rebbe of Yerushalayim, he was apparently not Rosh Hashanah in Shabbos. He was kind of the Tzvah of everyone. It wasn't the Rebbe of Shabbos. So he writes that if I would have been there, I would have told him that he's not allowed to sign his name. Why? So he writes the Shtibul Torah. He writes that once he does Mila, so he's already not a guy anymore. So not only is he not a goy that he's allowed to keep Shabbos, but he has a chiddush goy which says he thinks he's mechuyav to keep Shabbos. Once he's mal, he's mechuyav to keep Shabbos. Why? Why? What's the raya? So he brings a raya. Dr. Gemara Pesach, all the dinim of Geirus are learned out from what happened in the different tribes, slash Matan Torah. So Klal Yisrael didn't mila l'shem Geirus when? At the time of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. They didn't do the tefillah l'shem Geirus until 7 weeks later. When did they get Shabbos? Right in the middle. They had Shabbos in Mara. Obviously, the Rebbe Shalom passed it against the Rebbe Yerushalayim. Roshon Pasir, that you're allowed to keep Shabbos when you're on Gair Shemavu L'Tavu, and you're mechuyav to keep Shabbos after Gair Shemavu L'Tavu. So he overturned the Pesach that was given 10 years before in Yerushalayim. That was his Chiddush Kavu. Anyway, getting back to that story. So this Machlokes just highlights the fact that we're not quite sure what that means conceptually, that we say you need Mila U'Tvila. But the mice, the end of the day, you need it. There's no shiloh in Shulchan Aruch. That's the din. Omer v'yechim, omer v'yechim, omer v'yechim, that he's not going to be really fully Jewish in any shape or form until he has both Mila and Tefillah. So let's see if we can break down a little bit about the discussion of Mila, a little bit of the discussion of Tefillah, and then as we move on, discuss a little bit of the relationship between the two. So when it comes to Mila, Mila's pretty straightforward. The Bris Mila, well, same with the Bris Mila on the baby, the Bris Mila, what's the problem? So the Gemara already raises the question, the fourth reference of Gumbis, what if you have a ger shenizgarik shemol, a non-Jewish male comes to us, and we say, okay, first thing you have to do is a milah. So he says, I'm already circumcised. I'm circumcised as a baby by a doctor. So now what? So what are you supposed to do to him? So it's unclear. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes about this. Sometimes I say, what do you do? Nothing. So you do tefillah. If you couldn't do milah, so you do tefillah, and he becomes like an akeva, and he converts to tefillah alone. Well, you, there's no oral to cut off, so it's nothing to do. You don't do mila. And the other Tana says, no, and you do mila. You do mila, there's no oral there. The answer is you do a substitute mila. What's a substitute mila? I don't understand this. You draw a little bit of blood, we'll talk about that a little later, where, what, how, what that is exactly. And you draw a little bit of blood from Moisev Makom, and that substitutes as a mila's mila. So Machlokes HaTanaim, what do? Do you need a Tavas Tambris or do you not need a Tavas Tambris? The answer is that this Machlokes almost identically repeats itself to the end of the Masechta Shabbos, if everyone loves the mila. But another scenario where somebody can't have a bris, and the question becomes, should we do a Tavas Tambris or not? Who is that? Someone who's a Nolad Mol. A Jewish baby, regular baby, baby's born, mom, mom, it's a null and mole. The skin, the oral is not really there. So now what do you do? So one Tana says, you do nothing. It doesn't have an oral, no, there's no risk, finished. So I'm hanging out bagels, you know, bagels are not without the oil, sugar and pizza. And the other Tana says, no, the other Tana says, if you don't have an oral, you cut off, so you have to do a substitute. And the halachic substitute is a tongue of the. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, the same child, the same issue. It's a fundamental question. Does the halacha recognize this concept of a substitute for smila, or harm it then? There is no such thing. So there's two non-communals of deen, one by the Geshen is Gash Bishul Mo, and one by the Nolad Mo. So within the sugyas, the Gemara itself already tells us in the Sefer Shabbos that the two Shas are not necessarily the same. And there are svaras that count. Why are these two sugyas not the same? So the Gemara in Shabbos throws a curveball at us in the sugya of the Nolad Mo. The baby, not the Jew, not the Jewish baby, the Jewish baby, who was born Mahol. So the Gemara says, maybe he's not really Mahol. You think he's Mahol, according to your perception, he's Mahol. Maybe he has what's called an Orla Kavusha. An Orla Kavusha means maybe there is an Orla under there somehow, and we're missing it. So somehow, hocus pocus, we're going to do our Tavas Tambris, and the Tavas Tambris is going to solve that problem of an Orla Kavusha, which is a very, very difficult statement, because if you really believe there's an oral there, so forget Atomas Tabrish, maybe go to the urology, you have to figure out what to do, how to get rid of this oral Kavusha. So that's already a whole other topic about how we have learned Mila, right? It used to be Geras and Mila used to be together, now we're separate entity. So it used to be, you learn Mila and Geras together, then you have to solve this dilemma. How is it that Atomas Tabrish is going to address this concern with oral Kavusha? The Gemara does have that possibility out there, that the Magna of Shabbos, that there's a problem with oral Kavusha. Then the Gemara's a further machlok is, is those Tanoim who say you need a Tavas Tambris, is it the Torah's Vavya or the Torah's Sofik? Are they afraid maybe there's an off chance that there's a Olah Kavusha? Maybe it's Bados, it's Olah Kavusha. The Gemara says, a Chapa Nafkaminah, can you do it on Shabbos? Sofik Mila, that's kind of like the Ksuvi. But the Gemara on Shabbos is a whole discussion about Olah Kavusha. Obviously, that discussion is irrelevant for the Gerus part of our discussion, because we know there's an Olah Kavusha. This non-Jew was born 25 years ago. He had a regular medical circumcision. At the time, he had a regular orla. The orla was removed. It was for all the kavushas. Obviously, there's no orla kavusha. So it's clear that the baby that was born, quote unquote, no one knows, is a little bit worse off than the ger. On the other hand, we should point out that there's perhaps more of a reason to insist on the ger undergoing a tavas tambris than the baby. Because at the end of the day, the baby is Jewish. Even if the kid remains an oral, a mamashit oral, he's still Jewish. It was born to a Jewish mother, so it was Jewish. So the goal of the mitzvah mila is exactly what it sounds like. It's a mitzvah mila. It's not a mekayah. It's not a kaddish. Very often you go to these, you go to drushes for a brisim, and the rabbi gets up the father, there's a whole drush about it. Now the child is nichnas to Kedushas Yisrael, and now he's a full-fledged Jew. It's not true. He's a full-fledged Jew before and also. Well, he's born as a Jew. He's born as a Jew. So there's a little bit to it. A little bit. Shtickle Torah, Meshachach, the rabbi. There's a little something to it, maybe. It became a popular drush, but not necessarily 100% of the. But when it comes to Geirus, if he doesn't have the Geirus, it's nothing. It's going. So maybe one could argue that the men of Mamurim, the halacha, insists that you have to have some kind of a substitute process because something has to be met with the Kedushas Yisrael. So if you can't have a Mila Mamish, at least you have a Tavas Tambris. Hashem came by a Jewish baby, so if you don't do it, no. It's like if a guy is sick, kids in the sukkah, he's in the sukkah. He doesn't have a little, doesn't have tefillah. What do you do? He doesn't have a Rola, so he doesn't have a Mila. Finished, end of discussion. So there are svaras that kind of count. So we're not sure what the din is. We know there's a machlokes HaTanoim about there's a Nolad Mahol, a Jewish Nolad Mahol required Tavas Tambris. We know there's a machlokes HaTanoim about a Geshes Gakshum Mahol. Does he require Tavas Tambris? And we know that the Shahs are not identical to one another. How do we pass the Malacha in this whole story? So you have a machlokes HaMishonim and a Kotze LaKotze. So some of the Rishonim said that the Gersh and his Gayer for sure requires a Tavas Tambris. The baby, that's not so important. And all the other Rishonim say, no, the baby requires. The Gersh and his Gayer, that's not so important. How do we pass in the halacha? So we pass in that we don't know how to pass. We're not sure what the answer is. As we're stuck between the balaf, those are melech and alaf. This is supposed to be very shining from before the shem. The days the Galayim themselves weren't trying to be mechriya. So therefore, Shulchan Aruch, we pass in the chum and everything. We pass in that they both need. Both in the law requires a dance number, which again, not actually here today, as well as the Geshen Eskak Shemo requires a Tavis number as well. Since it's only a suffix, therefore we do without a bracha. That's the practice that's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. That's what we've been doing for the last 1,000 years or so. The Mimim of Ramu Taisus writes, Shulchan Aruch writes, we do both, we suffix. And therefore, any time, which is a very, very common challenge, very common in America, you have a person who's very medically circumcised, and he comes to us at 25, wants to convert. So we say, good, so we're going to do a Tavis number, and we're not going to bracha, suffix, we're not going to let you go, just go to the mikvah. We're going to insist on doing our tapas on bris, and it's fake.
What would bracha be if it wasn't suffix?
It would be bracha, you mean, it's a bracha by meal, lomo said gayrim, so it would be a bracha of just lahatat da bris. I don't know. I think that's a useful bracha. Good news, we don't have to make it up, it doesn't exist. Okay. Fine, so that's how we pass your Shabbat. You have to do tapas on bris, albeit the entire stuff. Is this a din min haTorah, or is this only a din min haRabbanan? This whole idea of a substitute bris, this is something that the Chachamim made up, the Yesh Minayin, or is this something that really exists in the Chumash itself, some kind of a Torah Shel Apeh to this? So the Minchas Chinuch is not sure. The Chinuch of the Mitzvah Mila, Mitzvah Beis, throws his hands up, he's not sure. He doesn't have a Raya Brura, whether it's a din min haRabbanan, it's a din min haRabbanan, but so I'm not sure what the token for this din is, but I'm not sure when it applies, but the Maisen Shulchan Aruch, that's how he passed, when you need it, he's suffic, and go without it, without it. Is there any situation that arises where maybe we can always do away with this? Maybe we don't even need that tough number. Is there any possibility that we could be making someone who was emo beforehand to let you get away without this procedure of a tough number? So there was a big, big machlokes in the post, which is becoming a very, very common shadow in the following type of scenario. Let's say you have a person who's coming to convert, and he's 25 years old, he's coming to convert, and he was already circumcised. He wasn't circumcised by a doctor in the hospital. He was circumcised by a boil and in a shul. And they served bagels and lox at the bris. And they made a bracha and they did everything. They gave him a sender, they gave him a name, they gave him. So why is he coming to convert? Because he was never Jewish. Because his mother was never Jewish. Either his mother was mamish never Jewish, or she converted shul like he did, or the grandmother. So I said, bottom line is, he was never Jewish. Now, 25 years, he thought he was Jewish. His parents thought he was Jewish, the boy thought he was Jewish, the caterer for everyone thought he was Jewish, so the mice said, well, no, so now we realize that he's not Jewish. So quickly, we want to be prepared. He's getting married next week. That's most of the time I'm doing these things that are stuck for now. So, or applying to go to Aliyah. So someone has to sign the papers for a little son, somebody realizes, wait a second, we didn't even know who his mother was. So these things happen all the time. So now, quickly, we want to be Magaya him. So the question is, what do you have to do? Obviously, he's got to go to the mikvah, that's not a shayla. Does he also have to undergo a bealing? And a bris 25 years ago. Oh, he has to undergo a tavas bris. That's what some place can say, yeah. He's got to go undergo a tavas bris because it's no different than a regular goy who was medically circumcised. The fact that he had a bris with a rabbi, with a whole white beer, and shul, with brachas, with the locks, and that's lamal, that he still has to have a tavas bris l'shem the geirus. And the other post can say, no, not so. Why? Because maybe there's a big distinction between the case of the Gemara is that it wasn't done by teres mitzvah at all. It was done by teres medical. It was done for maybe other religious reasons. It was done for other agendas. Here, it was done with shem mitzvah, done with shem mila. This is a little bit of whoops, a little bit of mistake. It wasn't Yilus Geir, it was Yilus Yisrael. What's the difference? It was Geir, it was Yisrael. It's all Jewish religion. It was done for a Jewish religious purpose. Maybe one can argue that a bris that's done for a medical purpose or for another religious purpose, so that bris can't count towards milas geiros, and you have to substitute with that tavas bris like you want to do something. And maybe it was done for religious purposes, maybe that's good enough, maybe that's okay. So that nekuda is unclear in the later post. That's a machlekes apeskin. Do we have any raias to this idea that a milah l'shem Yisrael, which a mitzvah milah could double? As l'shem geirus, so a lot of the discussion of also revolves around a comment of the Ramban. There's a Ramban in the fourth of the Yevamos, and the Ramban raises the question: we pass in halach l'machta. Does Tanoim hold that someone who was in this guy to shemol has to have a tavas tamperes? Frank to Ramban Akasha, what did they do with that original bris mila in Mitzrayim? We said the whole mokor for bris mila for geirus is learned out from Mitzrayim. Orla Yochel both had to do a bris mila. So it wasn't just a meal for Kabbalah's purposes, it was a meal for Geirus. So that's true for the 90% of Klai Yisrael that didn't have this meal. But there was one group that did, the Levim. The Rambam quotes from Medrash, from Chazal, the Rambam, the Rabbi quotes, Uvris Chayitzayru, it means Levim and Nevim about the Brismila. Levim were having Brismilas even in the middle of Mitzrayim. So the Levim were having Brismilas in the middle of Mitzrayim, and it came Erev Pesach the first year, and everyone else is lining up to get a Brismila to be Nichlas the Bris of Geiros. What are Levim doing? Where's the Geiros? If you tell me that the Bris and Mitzrayim is just to enable people to eat the Kavim Pesach, I already had a Bris 20 years ago. I don't need another one. If you're telling me now, like the Gemara has explained, Tashma Pes interpreting those Pesukim, as it was Levim's Geiros, so then how did the Levim convert? How did Mashiach convert? How did Aaron convert? It was a Kanya, Aaron a lady, Aaron a Shekhan lady. How did they convert? How did they become Jewish? They also needed a Bris Mila. What happened to them? So the Rabban quotes two interpretations, two answers to this Kashas. One answer the Rabban says, they must have had some Bris. The same way, the Rabban is assuming it comes to Bris Mila Raisa, so the same way that we say the Dairus, the person who was Nisgad Kishumal requires a Tavis Tavis. So too, Mashiach, the Levim requires a Tavis Tavis. And the Eidi Shlomi said to the Rabban, that Bamed the Ramamur Minir Tavis Tavis, that's the case of the Goy who was medically circumcised, it wasn't being done the Teres Mitzvah. Here, it's being done the Teres Mitzvah. So it's being done the Teres Mitzvah. What's the difference? Milos Yisrael, Milos Gay, it's all the same thing. And therefore, that Mila can serve as the Milos Geiros, and there would be no need for additional Tavis Tavis. Stop on the Chaykes. We have no idea what happened. Nobody's around today. I mean, we all say, Chay B'chol Dodo, 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 So 2 days of the Ramban. So come, the first thing you say, according to the second opinion of the Ramban, so maybe you could justify and say that a little baby was mauled by a male, then a bris and shul, and then 20 years later realizes he wasn't Jewish, maybe he doesn't need a tavas on bris, because it's no different than the case of Meshavei Narakari. So others point out that it's not the same. Even according to the Ramban, it's a big, big, big jump. What's the big jump? There, they were supposed to have a bris. It was a milas Yisrael that was, the mitzvah was supposed to take place. The Levim were Jewish. They were still part of, they weren't Jewish in the sense of Kedushas Yisrael yet, but they were still part of Zerah Shalom Levinim. So the din of Ben Shmon is Yom Yimulachim Chazach, and the Rezechim is on them. So the Mila meant something. So it was a lawfully mandated act. When you take a non-Jewish child, because you didn't have the facts, you had no idea this kid's a boy, and you went ahead and you did a circumcision on him, you're going to turn around and say 20 years later, that was the Mila. What's the Mila? It was a mistake. All things are toast. It wasn't a Milas Yisrael. It was a Mila that shouldn't have happened in the first place. So some of them say that even according to the Ramban, we're not even sure that's the right answer to the Ramban's kasha. But even according to that seven answer to the Ramban, we're not sure that we could properly extrapolate to our scenario. So do you have any other rayas? If that's not such a good raya, are there any other rayas? So there is a general question. We're going to jump ahead a little bit to Tevila. You can almost have a similar kind of a shayla. Let's say a person is going to the mikvah, and they're not going to the mikvah b'taras tefilas geiros. They're going to the mikvah b'taras tefilas mitzvah. Why are they going b'taras tefilas mitzvah? Because they think that they're Jewish already. They don't even realize that they're not Jewish, but they're going to Taiva because a woman's going to Taiva. Tefilas mitzvah. A man's going to Tumas Kari. A person's going to the mikvah, thinking that they've been Jewish already for 50 years, maybe thinking that they were born Jewish, and they're going to the mitzvah, to the mikvah b'taras mitzvah, and now it turns out they were never really Jewish or a woman. We have the right to turn around and say, that's okay. Mali tefillah l'shem mitzvah, mali tefillah l'shem kiyum. It's all okay. If a person goes swimming and they weren't interested in doing anything Jewish or religious and ritual in nature, that goes into the ocean, so you don't say, oh, it was tefillah l'shem. All the garments were Jewish. Everyone from Jewish because everyone was tefillah l'shem kiyum. That's ridiculous. But the person is going to the Torah's mitzvah, so maybe mitzvah gamers are really close enough to one another. So that's a big, big machlokes in Rishon. There's a very, very cryptic Gemara in Yevamos. We're going to talk about this Gemara a lot more weeks to come. Because many, many controversial issues depend upon how you read Travis Gemara. The Gemara tells a story about a certain woman who had converted, but apparently the Geirus wasn't done properly. Not clear what the problem was, but something was not done properly. And then this woman got married, and she was very, very observant. She was observing Travis Mishpach every month. She was going to Mikra every month. So when the Shaila came to the MRI, what do we do now with this woman? Is she Jewish or not Jewish? So the Gemara says, no problem, she's Jewish. You know what? Milo Tavlo and Yedusa. But she's been going to the Mikra every month for a Taz Mishpach. So that's good enough. So the Rambam learned Shana Gemara to mean if she's going to the mikvah every month, it must be that she was probably converted one time before. There's probably some days in some of the last 20 years looked into it, even though we don't have any records, and probably she was Megaya properly. But just the fact that she went to the mikvah, Hashem mitzvah, was that blue of Hashem Geiros. And most of the other Rishon, many of the other Rishon learned, no, that the Gemara means Kipshuto. They're going to the mikvah for Tefillas Nisa, it's good enough, and you don't have to go to the mikvah for Tefillas Geiros. So those who showed are in the red flag, the multiple red flags, man. So number one, there's no Beis Din. We'll see as we go on, Beis Din's critical. Number two, it's at night, and we're going to be up at night, and Gairus has to be in the daytime, so there are a lot of problems with our Gemara. Hopefully we're going to address those problems in the weeks to come. But there's a major machlokes like, Rishonim, did that Gemara mean that a tefillah's mitzvah, tefillah's Gairus are all the same thing? So if it did mean that against the Rambam, but Tosfos learned that does mean that tefillah's mitzvah, tefillah's Gairus are really Haimelach, then maybe Mila's mitzvah, Mila's Gairus is also Haimelach. So we don't have any convincing raya. We're not 100% sure what the din is. When you have this baby who mauled him, thinking he was a Jewish baby, and then 20 years later we realize that he's a Israeli guy, should we insist on a Tavis Nampers or not? So there are different positions, different opinions, different Bati Dinim. There's many Bati Dinim that are made, Tavar V'Shaila, and they're made based on a whole combination of different reasons. First of all, we're not even sure this din of a Tavis Nampers exists altogether. Because remember, half the Rishonim say the whole thing is not true. Haraya, we don't make a bracha. The whole thing is already a little bit, totally the softened. Number two, we're not even sure we have a deraisa yet. The Chassidic wasn't even sure that this is even a sugya deraisa. You know? Number three, it could be that the Ramban, that sound Ramban, maybe is right. And maybe we can't extrapolate from the Ramban. Maybe the Rishonim who was saying this far by tefillah, we can carry that over to tefillah. Maybe it's possible. That's not such a bad argument. And we're not even 100% sure. Very often what happens is a lot of these cases, we're not even sure the person's not Jewish. There's some kind of a pikuch on the mother's gayer from 50 years ago. We can't track down who the dying was he really from, was he not from, was he close, and that. Very often there are a lot of statements in these things. We're not even sure the person wasn't Jewish in the first place. So it's another subject you don't think that. Very often it could be that the moel, the priest 20 years ago, may have also sensed that there was something fishy going on, and he may have had in mind the Shem Gayerus in the back of his mind. We'll talk about that a little later on. I remember once involved in such a case. They're trying to figure out what the male's kavan was. It's one small technical problem. The male wasn't alive anymore. So it's hard to get a clear-cut answer. So if the male's still alive, they ask him, well, he's not alive. And you can guess, it could be that he also sensed that something's fishy going on here. So maybe in the back of his mind, he had in mind, they should make the backup mealish in here, so it never becomes relevant. So you have a lot of stuff in the local. So again, there are many but they did him that are making on the shiloh rather than make the person undergo another procedure. Of a hatavas tamir. So again, it's got a lot of longness to the shaila, a lot of possibilities. Yes, because some other may have done it. You may have thought that something going on there. So we had in mind, just in case. Al atzad that it's okay. So al atzad we need the game. Okay, so the mila, we're not going to forego mila for sure. And even in a case where we had a circumcision, we're going to insist, at least in the case of fake, maybe the rice and the jerman, I'm doing hatavas tamir. Are there any cases where we can say, forget about the mila? We'll bring a guy without a mila, provided that's a male. Any cases we can do that? So, Tosfos is the long school situation. What if it's mamash impossible to do a bris? Why is it impossible? Eva's not there anymore. Nichas a gid. The person never lost an accent. Some mamash lost the Eva. So, if he doesn't have an Eva, so Tosfos writes, so what do you do? You can't do a bris, you can't do a toast, you can't do anything. So, what do you do? So Tosfos says, do nothing. So what do you treat him like? You treat him like the lead, like an Akeva, like an Isha. The same way that a woman converts without obviously having any bris. A woman doesn't have anything. She doesn't have bris, doesn't have a tusk, bris, doesn't have anything. There's a Shiva Kubetis, in case you're interested in the collection. The Shiva Kubetis in the Kama, that's a class, that says something startling about the tusk, the bris. The Gemara has a discussion whether, how do you know that every Kanani is possible to eat with tons of preparation of Amish? The Gemara says, maybe we're not going to Isha Kulaidis, Anashim, Anashim. So maybe the Kanani is the same. Maybe, yeah, maybe not back and forth, Kabbalah, Chorim, Mavs. In the middle of that discussion, the Gemara says, no, that you can't derive from Isha. Why? Because an Isha's Ain of Mila, because every Kanani is a Mila. So you see that every Kanani has certain properties, certain characteristics that almost make him more Jewish. More Jewish than Isha's. Our wives are also Jewish, but it means that if Kanani has certain positive qualities that Nisha doesn't have, he has that mitzvah of Mila. If the woman doesn't have a mitzvah of Mila, so what throws it in is part of the discussion. The Mamatina is a kind of fitness. So the Shiva Kubetz is quotes from Ben Yeshaya. First of all, he has the Kasha also. Ben Yeshaya has the Kasha. He says, what kind of Hirch is that? What kind of Kasha is that? That, no, the other Kanani is better than the woman because he has the mitzvah of Mila. The woman doesn't have Mila. How do you do Mila on a woman? The reason why the woman doesn't have Mila, she doesn't have an Eva, she doesn't have an Orla. So what kind of svar is that? We're trying to look for a hierarchy. Who has more Jewish qualities, more Jewish properties? The Eved Kanani or the Isha? So the Gemara says the Kanani has more because he has Mila. Isha does because she doesn't have Mila because she doesn't have Orla. So she prevents this quote from Ben Yishai to know. What the Gemara was is that the Torah could have said that you could do a Tavas Dam Bris on the Isha somewhere else. Could draw a little blood from her finger, from her nose, from her toes. The Torah could have construed a mitzvah of a Tavas Dam Bris from some other part of her body. It could have done that, but it didn't do that. It hasn't been done, and it didn't do it. And a woman is no shaykh to the mitzvah of person we love, slash, it comes to bring it. It's mufka from our, it's not mufka from our because of its serious reasons. It could have had a mitzvah, equally valid, a very open, tolerant society, with equal opportunities for men and women. We could have had a person we for a woman. It's just, the Torah didn't do it. You see, for me, that Rebbe Kanani has more shaykh to the mitzvahs, maybe than the Isha does. The collector's item, in case you're interested. Sheriff Ahmed, you see from that Shibuka Betzah, and I've done some verses that didn't derisa. Because it wouldn't be a din deraisa, then it wouldn't be part of the limud, the pirchus back and forth from Abba to Isha. The Gemara is talking about a source of oil, which the sheep is learning doesn't really need oil, it really means the thumb stop breath, and it's still deraisa. So if you want to be patient one time, that's a good marker to be patient from. But again, it's a very mukhlish tribunal, it's not a simple tribunal. Okay, anyway, getting back to this book. So Tosfos writes in the Sefer Yeromos that if you have a person with pirchus agid, so no problem, you can convert him. Just convert him without doing a bris milah. It's the same as a woman converts with tefillah alone. But based on this, that we pass the Shalom with the Tosfos. Based on this, Tosfos that the Achrona 100 years ago came with the following shaila. Let's say you have a person who medically is not allowed to have a bris milah, right? It's a hemophiliac. He has a condition, a medical condition that it's impossible for him to have a bris milah. It's not as if there are ways to do bris milah without bleeding. Hazen, what kind of different ways of doing it? But I'm saying in the olden days, it's not impossible to do a bris milah on this person. So if you have a hemophilia, he wants to convert. So what do you do? So some wanted to say, well, it's like a mason echa machas milah. The same way the Gemara says in the Prophets, that if somebody's blood has died from a bris milah, the doctor's telling it's too dangerous to do a bris milah, it's a chashash pekuch nefesh. So you don't do a bris milah. So the same way you don't do a bris milah on the Jewish baby, so you don't do a bris milah on the guy who's coming to convert also. And if you forgo bris milah, this is still an RL, and then you go to another mikvah, it's like a woman. So Ruba, the Pesachim said that capacity is absolutely incorrect. With Gabriel, why? Kamecha, this doesn't matter. There's no capacity at all. In the case of the mitzvah of Nila, the kid's Jewish anyway. All the drushes, the bris milah wrong. Of course the kid's Jewish. He's a full-fledged 100% Jew. Elawat is a mitzvah smila. So when you daven the mitzvah smila, so you have to figure out, there's a call of the Ruach Nefesh. So the Ruach Nefesh tells you, b'chaimem, you don't go ahead and do a bris smila, it's dangerous. So therefore the din is that you don't do the same way you have a chal shab, so you don't have kippah, you come to base, we do a lot of things we do wrong, quote unquote wrong. We do a lot of yisurim, we do a lot of mitzvahs, we do Ruach Nefesh. So we do a lot of mitzvahs, bris smila, we do Ruach Nefesh. Over here, he needs this as a process. The process is, that he has to become Jewish. The only way for him to become Jewish is to undergo the process of a bris milah. So you can, we're not mad at him, we're not screaming at him, but at the end of the day, he needs a bris milah. Let's say you have a woman who says that she can't have kiddush. Why? Because you put a ring on her finger, you give her any method of kiddush, cancer, shabbi, whatever you try to do, she's highly allergic to it, she's going to die right away if she has a kiddush. So we'd say, okay, fine, so you're married without kiddush. What do you mean you're married? You don't become married without kiddush. Said, what would we tell her to do in life? I don't know, a lot of problems. But you don't have a chalos, because just because you can't do a chalos doesn't mean we say, okay, it's all right, it's okay, Pat, you're the back, it's fine, you're good dishes anyway. Let's say a woman needs a get. She can't get a get, because now she's trying to get a get, okay, you don't need a get. How much money makes on this? Chalos and have to take place. So if you can't do it, you can't do it, and then we have to live with the consequences. So it's over here, we'll be right and right. That gave us as a chalais. It transformed you from being a goy to being a Jew. If you can't do it, you can't do it. If you can't do it, so you remain a goy. It's not the same as nichras agid. Nichras agid, there's nothing to cut. If there's nothing to cut, so there's no oral there. There's no oral there, so there's not an oral. But it's impossible to convert and remain an oral. That's a stira minayim faith. Being an oral is a stira to becoming the process of becoming Jewish. So that's what we assume the halacha, that this would not be acceptable at all. This would not be, even with the evidence, would not be a gay with the. So yeah, so we touched a little bit on the notion of Mila. Mila is a critical component of Gavis. We passed it. It's absolutely necessary. They don't get you, won't be at all. We saw that you have these funny kinds of cases of this guy, Kishamol, then you have the possible cases of the little babies who were mild to shame Yisrael, then you have Nichos HaGid, then you have the sick people, you have all these possible nuances of when we can or cannot play around with the requirement of Mila. But the starting point is that Mila is pretty critical. The next process is also very, very critical, where we pass in that tefillah is also equally critical, and the person will not be either nothing or complete, whatever the gerush is not, bottom line is, it'll get you more useful. So in order for the tefillah to be acceptable, it goes without saying, the tefillah has to be done in a kosher mikvah. So it sounds like that's like ABC, it's a shabbat like that. There is no shabbat. Of course it has to be a kosher mikvah. When I say a kosher mikvah, so it has to have the standards of a kosher mikvah on a level of the araisa. There are different standards of mikvahs when we're dealing with a din deraisa of tefillah, the context where we're dealing with certain kinds of nugget and kumras make something the rabbanim of tefillah in the following sense that I don't know who's going to make Moshe. Well, make for sure I gave
contemporary halacha.
Okay, so in order to be a mikveh deraisa, so it has to be one of two things. Either it's got to be a mayim, it's got to be a mikveh. The Torah says in Parashat Shemini, ach mayim abon mikveh mayim yotor, there are only two bodies of water that can be acceptable. It's got to be an underground flowing stream of water, or it's got to be a hole in the ground that collects rainwater. Those are the only two models that work on a level of deraisa. So it's got to be one of those two in order for the two of these. Again, we're not going to talk about all the controls right now, but suffice it to say, one of the biggest challenges that we have with building a mikvah is that you can't have what's called mayim shuvim. Mayim shuvim means any water that was collected in a klis. Let's say water that was in this bottle, in this cup. So that's possible for a mikvah. The machlokes of Rishon is that it's in derais, it's in derabanan. But the bottom line is that mayim shuvim is not acceptable. There are more paskins that have robed the mikvah shov, so the whole mikvah is possible on one of their derais. So the Gemara tells us in the third pattern of Brachos that in the days of Ezra, there was a takona that about Keri has to go to the mikvah. Now, they learned Davin says brachas until they go to the mikvah, and that was practiced, a tribe practiced a couple hundred years, and in the days of the Tanoim, the Bidu Ben Seir, they did away with that Takana because they saw people weren't following it anyway, and the Pasha broke the Shrof, as his rights. So the bottom line is that Takana Seir doesn't really apply. That's why we don't follow this anymore. The Abba Bechain, there are many who are makbid as Abidis Hasidus to go to mikvah all the time, sitting every day. Some people are very, very makbid in Hamad, right? Some people always go for Tfilis Ezra, but again, that's only the Torah's Midis Hasidus, not a real thing. From the days of Ezra, it was a real thing until it was a revoked. So the Gemara sounds, the whole discussion of the Rebbe Brachas, that the standards of mikvahs with the Torah's Ezra are not quite on par with regular local mikvahs. Namely, you can even have mayim shuvim, that even if you have a big hole in the ground and you just fill it up with water, that would be good enough for the Torah's Ezra. So Bizman Hazer, those Hasidim who like to go to the mikvah every day, they don't necessarily have to go in a kosher mikvah. They can go into basically a giant bathtub. They fill up a hole in the wall, a hole in the ground. Turn on the faucet, fill it up, and show you. You can't just have your own bathtub, it's not big enough, it's not 40 so. If you had a really, really big bathtub, a big jacuzzi in your bathroom, you don't have to bother going to the bathroom. So there are many names of mikvahs for manas that are built, they're not just giant bathrooms. That's all they are. The holes in the ground, somebody turns on the faucet, and show you, very cheap to build a mikvah. So those mikvahs are no good when a woman goes to the mikvah, that's a disaster. A woman would use that mikvah. She's high chorus, going to their mother, it's a cool show. Or if a tulis kalim, those are no good, because tulis kalim requires mayim hanida oil behem. A lot of people make that mistake. I've had multiple people call me, and they say, I'm about to be tulis kalim, but this is this mikvah, I'm at the men's mikvah, is this okay? I say, it's okay, no, it's not okay. Some of the men's mikvahs are built as kosher mikvahs, and some of them are not. So those that are not built as kosher mikvahs, you cannot use a tulis kalim either. And it goes without saying, you can't use it for tulis gairis. Tulis gairis requires a real bona fide to make on kosher this pattern of their eyes. So if one is super bonding a you've got to make sure that the body of water they're using is up to par. So just because it's called a mikvah, that doesn't mean that it's a kosher mikvah for a bit of their eyes.
So in that sort of case, you have to arrange with the mikvah to have the man dip in the, I guess it's usually...
Yeah, absolutely. You can't just pop in, you know, 2 hours later and take your mikvah. You have to make it an appointment.
Right.
The last thing you'd want to do is go to the mikvah anytime without supervision because the filters are probably running, other things are running, alarms are running, so yeah, for sure, yeah. Just because you have a natural body of water, so it's also not necessarily a kosher mikvah. So there's, again, complicated sugars and those mikvahs about which bodies of water are good, which ones are no good, which sugars are running down, which shabbos, chorus, rivers, conditions about lakes, a lot of different complicated stories. So anytime you're supervising a gairus, you better make sure that the body of water has been used as either a perfectly acceptable body of water, either of a mikvah or a mayan, whatever the case may be, before you have somebody converting shalom like you did. Many of the other dinim of tevila carry over to tevila's gairim as well. The Gemara says in the fourth parak of Yevamos that all the dinim of chatzitza carry over. That just as when a woman goes to the mikvah, you have to be careful to avoid chatzitzas. There are dinim of chatzitzas that are raisa, there are dinim of the rabbanim. If you have a rubo hamakbid, so that's a problem on a level of the rice. You know, most of your body is covered with dirt, and it's the kind of dirt that you don't like, and you want to jump in the shower now from now. So that's a problem on a level of the rice. That would disqualify the two of the rice, and that would disqualify the gairus on a level of the rice as well. Then we did a bond with the takana that even if it's only a mir hamakbid, or it's a rubo shen hamakbid, that's also, it's mir shen hamakbid, then mikra, then it's okay. There are more rights in the chasnid that we have a minute that even that we try to move. We don't want to have any chasnitas at all. But the Igra did, it's a mirch and a makbid, so the Diab of the Tvila would be good. 99.99% of the shells of the chatzitz that we have as manazah Amir HaMachbitz. I have never, ever, ever had a Ruba HaMachbitz Shaila, and I don't expect to get one in the near future, because Ruba HaMachbitz would mean the woman just went mudsliding, she's filled from head to toe, and now she wants to go to the mikvah, she's going to take a shower an hour later. So that would be a problem there, right? So that's usually what happens. So usually they have Mute HaMachbitz. But still, for gayers also, you have to be very, very careful, so you have to make sure that you have all the standards right. So whatever those standards are, we're not willing to use tefillah, it's neither right now, but whatever the standards are, you have to make sure whatever the standards of jewelry are, whatever the standards of makeup is, and nail polish, and contact lenses, and stitches, and whatever you think the standards are, so you have to make sure to get those standards right, Anuchas tefillah's geirus as well. Then, just as Anuchas needed as a bit of chafifa, and a person is supposed to wash himself and scrub himself, like it's a mishana with the body or just the hair, or I'm going to use everything, wash the body well, wash the hair well. So this should all be done properly for gayrus as well. There's a shayla, whether chafifa applies to men or to women. The women have a lot of hair. Some men have a lot of hair, some men have very little hair. So I don't know, it would be very hard for me to do chafifa, but I just know where to start. So that question is how much chafifa has to be done for the men. But people who have accumulated hair, so then they have to make sure everything is mamish clean. It's cleaned out, and there's no knots and everything. So again, this is the vision. These kinds of things have to be done, it has to be done properly. If you have a woman who's converting, it's almost a little bit easier, because the mikvah lady usually comes along and she's more proficient in these things. If you have a man who's converting, so you have to have a rav, he knows what he's doing, to make sure that there are no chatzitzas and everything has been done properly, to make sure that the tefillah proceeds properly. So again, so we spoke a little bit about the lila, some of the nuances of the lila, a little bit of the tefillah. Hopefully, Mr. Shem, after the next week, after Pesach, well, okay, so hopefully, Mr. Shem will continue to talk a little bit about the connection between the lila and the tefillah. Thank you.